we were to deal with the report coming from the CHE as it relates to the matter pertaining Jimmy Zulu. They indicated to us that they are in the process of completing or have completed, but the report has not been sent to both the minister and to the institution. We felt it prudent to ensure that the report reaches the two that I just mentioned now before it comes to Parliament, because we are obviously interested to know and to hear the input from both of them. We are suggesting, honourable members, that this matter receives its our urgent attention at the beginning of 2018. We then ask that we bring the department before us to deal with a matter which we feel requires an urgent attention as it relates to the range of different things on the where we are at with the CET, as we call it. So it won't relate only to what the current problems are, but it would relate also to what progress we are making with regards to this one. You would remember, honourable members, we always said that the CET will never be the stepchild of the department. Like we have said, the pivot will never be the stepchild of the department. That all of them must enjoy equal status. If you are okay with that, honourable members, that is what we would want to deal with this morning. I take it it's in order. The second one, honourable members, you would know that the high-level report of the panel that Parliament has put together are being presented to all the chairs, the whips, and the chief whips, and everyone else, many other people in Parliament. So we would be expected, honourable members, to leave this meeting shortly, myself and honourable Kikana, to go to that meeting where that presentation is going to be made. In that instance, honourable members, it means that you would require somebody to chair the meeting when we leave. I want to ask honourable members, with your permission, if we can deal with that now before we leave, to elect a chair before I step out of the meeting. Is there a nomination? Honourable, I don't know why your first name stays in my head and not your surname. Honourable Balmaran.
Thanks, Chair. It's okay. In light of what you have mentioned, then for this seamless round of the meeting, I would therefore propose that we nominate Honourable Tundu to chair, so that we can proceed with the meeting.
There's a nomination of Honourable Tundu, Honourable Kekana, Honourable Mavunda.
Thanks, Chair. I support the nomination, the name of Ms. Chun, Chair.
You support Honourable Kekana?
I was going to say that.
Honourable Kekana third the proposal. Is there anyone else that you want to nominate? In the absence of that, Honourable Tunu, when we leave the meeting, we will ask you to come and take up your seat here and chair the rest of the meeting. Honourable members, having dealt with both of that, In the event that we're not back in time, I must take the opportunity very quickly to express our appreciation of the work that the committee has done for the year, and the dedication and regular attendance and participation and contribution of the members of the portfolio committee, together with the support staff. We are extremely grateful for making sure that the committee continued to function. In the absence of Parliament giving us an increase, I would have loved to give a gift to all of you, but it is not possible to do that. But of course, you are welcome to give gifts to each other. Honourable members having said that, we have circulated to you the annual report of the committee, and we would like to get input from all of you, because as you know, we too need to account to Parliament. Did all of you receive the copy? Yes, I see everyone nodding. So may I encourage you, honourable members, to look at the report, make your input, and I want to ask, if we're not going to meet again, I need a suggestion as to how we're going to deal with the report. We are supposed to adopt it today, honourable members, but I'm not quite sure if you were able to go through it. Can I hear suggestions? I take it it's not possible to adopt it as we speak because you haven't gone through it, is that correct?
That's correct.
We will communicate with you, honourable members, on how we can deal with this report between today and tomorrow. And maybe I can consult also to see how we can do it. The last thing before I hand over, we are still pursuing the international trip. We trust, honourable members, that sense and sensibility will prevail and that the authorities will agree to go. Thus far, we've got no response yet from no positive response yet from both the House Chair's office. And our view is, if you agree, that maybe we should elevate this matter to the Speaker to go and have a conversation with the Speaker to deal with this matter. Having said all of that, honourable members, the apologies before us is honourable Killian. Same apology, honourable Buthelezi, is the other apology. Honourable members, I'm going to take us then to the next point on the agenda, and we're going to ask, or we just get the name properly. We're going to get a briefing from the South African Apex Educators Union on the challenges in the community education and training sector. We ask if you can be brief with your input so that there's sufficient time for members to engage and also for us to receive a report from the department. If you can introduce yourself also.
Thank you, Comrade Chen. My name is Tolisa Wula. I am the interim chairperson of South African Adult Aged Educators Union in the Western Cape.
Morning, everybody. I am Nedimus Gonyela, a secretary and interim secretary of IU.
ladies and gentlemen. My name is Denmo Chuma. I am responsible for communications within SAWEBO.
Other fellow educators from mainstream schools, and they will say,
to us that they don't recognize our qualification, then we end up working as domestic care workers and cleaners. Instead, when they, okay, this results to an able graduate having to share their hours of work with individuals which already have permanent jobs. This is called the claim system theory, whereby when they calculate their hours of work, they will be far more than those who are holding able graduates. You'll find an able graduate having one, we've got one case in Sosikelela, whereby one graduate qualified lecturer was a SAWU member, and then she had to go to attend a SAWU meeting. Because of that, another subject was taken away from her, leaving her with only one subject to teach, and that subject was given to a mainstream educator. It could be about 9% of center managers in the Western Cape who are double packers. There's this problem of such discrimination of our ABET graduates. Security for both educators and students is under threat due to lack of security support staff in many centers. We have cases of thieves breaking into a number of centers. There's also a case of breaching that was introduced as a pilot in St. Francis. These level 4 students, at this point in time, they will be having 9 months to sit at home. And our students have changed. They are no longer the adults, but the young youth as well that has been in jail, in rehabilitation, drug addicts, gangsters, but they have reformed. So when they come back to the community learning center, they get another opportunity to learn. But because now the department is saying we cannot continue with the bridging, that simply means that these young youth must go and sit back in the communities for the next 9 months, and then they can only be registered for grade 12 in September, October next year. When they come there, in the Western Cape, we've got a very high failure rate. When they come there, level 4 is proportional to grade 9. So by doing the bridging course, we are trying to cap that gap, get them used to the curriculum and to the system, because it's totally different from what they were doing in level. But now we cannot do that. We must just let our students to go back and sit home and come back to do grade 12. And the gap between grade 9 and grade 12 is too huge for them to just go straight to grade 12. Lack of resources at adult education centers for proper teaching and learning, centers with not even basic needs such as toilet papers, photocopying papers, let alone the prescribed books for grade 12. Currently, we were informed that we need to write media exams for grade 12. We questioned it because it was never discussed with us as the union within those centers. We were told that by the center manager, it has to continue. My students didn't write. I'm a Xhosa educator. They didn't write because I didn't have a resource to print their papers. What the other educators did, they took the papers and went to print them on their own. So my students were chased away yesterday. More than almost 30 of them were chased away because the other educator only printed for her class. That is the situation we are sitting with when it comes to resources. It doesn't only compromise us, but it compromises the what we are trying to do here to get these students into the system of learning. Late payments of educators on grounds that claims have not reached Pretoria, or that the center manager or district official forgot to sign, or doesn't have a signature, or there's a certificate short, or there's a form. Whereas we've got claims that are paid while they are being scratched by the center managers. They've got the authority to scratch the claims, and the department in Pretoria pays those claims, even if there is no signature on the scratching by the center manager. We've got educators who haven't been paid for the past 10, 12 months. Others, salaries from 2015, they were not paid the whole of 2015, but they are still in the centers and pursuing
our agenda to do adult education. Educators dying and leaving their children with nothing after teaching for years in ABET space. We've got one educator in the Eastern Cape, in East London, who passed away, and we're looking at the kids and looking, and that gentleman has been in the system for more than 15 years. But he has to die and leave his children with nothing because we've been on contract and we've been on the claiming system. Unsecured centers where students and educators are robbed going and coming from schools. In some schools like St. Francis, we've got these people robbing the students and the educators within the center grounds. They come inside, they rob the students of their cell phones and their belongings. Our qualifications, that is such a hindering matter at this point in time, whereby most of us did qualifications which are not recognized now, recognizable now. An example of that would be ACE, whereby we are told that even if you have done your diploma and you have done your ACE, but you didn't go horizontally, but you went vertically. So that means you are still standing on N2F level 6, having worked for more than 10 years in the space, but you don't qualify to do your honors, or you do your masters, or you do your postgraduate. You have to be compared with someone who is coming out of, let's say, UWC this year. That person qualifies to do PGCE, and I don't qualify, whereas I've been on the same space for long. And then when we ask the universities, they tell us that DHET is taking too long to approve their proposed cases programs. I mean, we've got two programs that UCT has been waiting for, in which most of us qualified to do this year, but we cannot do that because we don't qualify, having studied so many years. And most of us, we are approaching our 50s, and we're wondering if we cannot do anything other than holding the ABET diploma, what else then we can do? Because we didn't want to do BEd. BEd was there when we chose to do this diploma qualification. It was there. But now we are forced, and some of the dedicated educators have left the space because they are told that in order for them to be recognized, they must do BEd. There are no bursaries allocated to do these courses. Out of us being contract workers for donkey years, but we are expected to pay for our fees, but there are documents stating that our finances will be looked at, the bursaries will be looked at by the head when we upgrade ourselves. Service conditions are non-existent. Policies implemented by the head work provincially without considering the other stakeholders like the union. The union is also not part of the education council within the Western Cape. When we try to get hold of them, we cannot get hold of them. No one can tell us where to get to find them. We have requested the principal of the college to convene a meeting with the council. That hasn't happened. There are posts that are being filled without any advertisement. We're hearing that there is a deputy principal. Two deputy principals were appointed this year. We never saw those posts. We've got two centers, which is ELSIS and West Bank. They've got caretaker center. We are not sure whether they are caretaker center managers, but those posts were only advertised for 2 days in local newspapers. I took the matter up with the principal, and the principal told me that I was late. I could not apply for that post. In some centers, no increments, while other centers receive increments. You get a center which is not even 5 kilometers away from another center. An example of these centers will be ELSIS. I'll always go back to St. Francis because I've got vast knowledge of what exactly is happening in St. Francis, whereby educators or lecturers in ELSIS receive their 7% increase both from 2015, 2016, and 2017. And in St. Francis, there was no increment since 2015. There's also low budget, according to the center manager and the principal. There is low budget allocated to centers, leaving the centers operating with no resources, e.g. toilet paper, stationery, working machinery, leading to demoralized lecturers and high failure rate.
we also have recommendations. I'm not sure, Chair, if we can go and we can just hold the... Okay, we also have recommendations on how do you see this thing can work. We need to stop double parking immediately. ABET lecturers are qualified. They've got the methodology to teach troubled youth, adults, and troubled adults. They know that they've got them. Unlike the mainstream educators who are holding the PhD qualifications, then you find that the failure rate is too high. It's because these other educators come into the space just to get petrol money. They don't have full interest in adult education. So we need that to be stopped with immediate effect. We need employment of all unemployed ABET graduates. There are many of them, we've got CVs for them. Some of them are working as domestic workers, as I mentioned before. ABET qualified educators must be involved in development of ABET curriculum. Now there is marking, we've got mainstream educators marking our children's papers. And it makes us wonder, why are we having so much failure rate? Standardization of salaries based on our RTUVs immediately. By the next payday, all educators in the payroll must be paid according to their qualifications. We do not foresee any delays in this, as we have all the qualifications of the lecturers in their system, that they are already paying them. We've got other center managers who can just out of the blue reduce somebody's salary by 4,000 rand because she doesn't agree with that particular person. We've got such cases that we are sitting with. And we have reported this matter to DHET in Pretoria, but it's 4 months now. Nothing has happened. We need enrollment of e-bridging students in January every year as per tradition, especially in the centers that had already implemented these classes. This is done to combat crime, moreover assisting in development better communities, and this is our core business. Immediately, stop commercialization of education by making poor students in townships pay, contrary to the country's law. Do away with double parkers with immediate effect. ABET graduates are available and unemployed permanently by 1st of April 2018 with payback to all qualifying educators. We need the post to be advertised. Recognition of ABET profession by DHET and universities in the Western Cape in order to further our qualification. Center managers must be on basic administration law. Human rights must be taught or must be workshopped on administrative law, human rights and constitution and labor rights. They must stop bullying the educators and learners. Creation of more full-time adult centers to meet the rising demand of adult students. Provision all basic tools provision of all basic tools in education to be for both educators and students. Stationery, textbooks, teacher's guides, chalk, toilet paper, all the necessary basic needs. We need monthly distribution of basic necessities as I've mentioned. I thank you.
This is actually a fascinating story that we hear, and I am alarmed by things there, and I go along with some of, in fact, almost all of your recommend double parking. We can have people teaching in two jobs, working in two jobs, when the other job has qualified people unemployed. Really doesn't make sense. But just a general comment is that, you see, this is life function. And we as a portfolio, because after hearing you, we need to make an inquiry, make sure that other people are also given a chance why they are doing wrong things, isn't it? When you present your story, you present it for yourself. The other person whose allegations are pointed at need to be given an opportunity to also respond, and thereafter we take everything forward. So we don't have facility as a portfolio committee to do that. The only time we do it is when we're doing oversight, like in a university or in a particular college. So my worry is we don't have that facility. That actually is the life function, I would imagine, of the department. And I'm sure department will tell us why, because when I'm listening carefully, you have already laid this matter on their table and you say they haven't responded, including those that are not paid. Who wants to work without being paid in this day and era? And that would be my number one priority. People must really be paid for the job they've done. It is Christmas. We all have responsibilities, and we wouldn't like our responsibilities not to be addressed because we have worked though we have not been paid. So that one of payment, I think it must be prioritized as number one there. But I'm just saying the department will respond to us because remember you are a union, another union might come to us, and we just as a portfolio don't have the facility. That's a line function responsibility.
All right, Honourable Member, I think you're speaking to yourself. Do I get it that we get the department to rather respond now, Honourable Members? Why don't we just do that? Can I hand over to the department to do their presentation? Who will lead us?
Mr. Diale, who is the Chief Director for Education, Training and Development, and Mrs. Kodisang, who is the Director for Governance and Management Support in the Department. Chair, I'm going to make this presentation in relation to points that were presented to us without really going too much into what Sayo has presented, but just to preface it by if I was to suggest a way forward, is just to engage at the level of the college and the union together with the management of the college.
I didn't start with your presentation.
Yeah. These were the topics which we are dealing with, and we were expected to deal with them in addressing the portfolio committee. I'm not going to go into the outline. I'm going to go straight into the first one, outstanding CET ledger payments. And this relates to basically three issues that we know of. One is the antiquated claim system. It may have to also to do with the delays in the processing of RQ's application by the department, our HR. And the other one of which we are also aware is the reversal, outstanding reversal of salary cuts for the Limpopo City educators, which happened in 2014. Just starting with the claim system. The claim system particularly affects lecturers in the Western Cape and KZN. What we are aware of is that at the end of the month, when a lecturer finishes the month, the lecturer doesn't get paid because they still have to submit the claims through the center managers, through the district, through the college. And our finance section just indicated to me that that actually can cause a delay of about a month before a lecturer is paid. And the instances where there are individual cases of people who have not been paid, the issue does not necessarily come to the branch, community education training branch, it goes to HR. And if there are issues which have been elevated to HR, it always helps to make us aware so that we can follow up on behalf of those lecturers. The second issue has got to do with the processing of the RQVs. Our HR section says they have received from CET colleges 3,269 applications for improving the RQVs. They have processed 1,727. They have 15,042 which are still outstanding. Processed in this case is they have been captured. They have been captured and those individual lecturers have been paid. The next point which we were asked to deal with was the development and progress with on the development and implementation of the new CET policies and regulations. This list, which I am just putting on the slide, indicates the policies which we have committed to Parliament through the portfolio committee that we are targeting to do the following policies, and these are the policies which we have actually been able to develop. The 29 finance and governance were not yet implemented because the college at the moment does not have the, what we call it, does not have the systems. That is why the college funding is managed by the department until such time that the college has the capacity to comply with the PFMA. Service delivery framework, we completed it this year and will be implemented in 2018 to inform the APPs and the strategic plans for next year. The strategy for partnership, we are done with that and it is used as part of the development of the college APPs. The national curriculum policy, as my colleague is going to indicate, we're done with that policy and it has got to be implemented as through the APP of the college. The MNE policy, that one also is being implemented. It formed the basis on which our annual report, one annual report was submitted in September last year, and we're expecting another one, which is required by law, to be submitted at the end of September, and based on the MNE framework for the CET colleges. Now, in order to prevent the mushrooming or indiscriminate closure of centers at the whims of center managers, we set up a policy to the effect that you can't just close the center or you can't just open a center without following due process. And then we have applied that due process in the policy and procedures for opening, merging, and closing community learning centers. And in the process of what the college council was saying is rationalization, the number of centers is informed by that policy of late. The rationalization process is going to be simply an annual process, because when centers in some provinces go dormant, you have to remove that center in the register and list centers which are operational, so that if we want to visit, we visit institutions or centers where we're going to find lecturers and students. The norms and standards for staffing CET colleges, these were published and they were presented to the stakeholders, but we are not implementing these anytime soon, given the fact that they have to be collectively bargained. You have to go into a collective bargaining process with the unions, and you can do that if the minister gives you the mandate. The minister can give you the mandate if the funding required is available. The nature of teaching and learning improvement plan that is implemented, it was the basis on which we presented the teaching and learning improvement report, which we got from college principal or college management. Standard operating procedures for student enrollment verification, they were used in the first time in 2017 to attempt to verify at least 5%, just as a dry run, 5% of the college did those students actually exist. And that was the work which was done by the department at the centers. Now, can I now turn to the next topic, which was also a request from before the committee that we must deal with. Outstanding matters relating to the function sheet. There are three of them. The first one is the absence of a collective bargaining structure for CET college lecturers. Second one, as I've indicated earlier, is the reversal of the Limpopo CET college lecturer salary cuts dating from 2014. And the third one is the when colleagues from SIU made a presentation, they talked about their situation in the Western Cape. But the issue of variations in conditions of service is a national issue, and of which we are aware. The conditions of service vary in the following way. It is varied applications of minimum requirements for appointment in learning centers. Each province gave us its own package. And the second one is different natures of appointment. Lecturers are not appointed on the same nature of appointment. Let's say not everyone is a contract appointment. The salaries and types of payments, we have people who are paid on PESO, we have people who are claiming, we have people who are on stipend. Working hours is a variation from 2 hours to 8 hours in some instances. A leave application is not applied uniformly. And the sector has absolutely no performance management system. And if you do not have a performance management system, what then happens is that your only increment you are going to get is the cost of living adjustment. You are not going to get a notch increase, as is the case in other sectors. And that also deals with the issue of allowances, the 37% which must be paid in lieu of benefits. That is not harmoniously applied. In other words, these are the three issues which are still residual arising out of the function shift. Now, let me take the first one. However much we want to enter into a collective bargaining to harmonize the conditions of service in the system. There's going to be a collective bargaining chain. The responsibility for designation of a sectoral bargaining council in the public service is the responsibility of the PSCBC and the Department of Public Service and Administration. Our minister has spoken to Minister Mutambi to facilitate the creation of a collective bargaining chamber for CET lecturers so that there are matters that can be discussed and be agreed upon or disagreed upon, but in a particular chamber. Given the nature of the appointment, notwithstanding that they came over with the conditions of service in terms of the Education of Employment of Educators Act, their appointment now is in terms of the Public Service Act. And therefore, it would mean the DPSA and or the PSCBC may have to designate the GPSSBC to be a collective bargaining structure for CET college lecturers, given the fact that they are now public servants. But until we resolve this matter, we actually have nowhere to bargain collectively for matters relating to CET college lecturers. The other one which might have been brought to the attention of the portfolio committee is the salary cuts in September 2014. The Department of Education in Limpopo decided that they are going to get rid of the claim system and put lecturers on their salary. Because of the changes in the nature of appointment, the salaries in total, 2,088 lecturers were affected. The salaries of the joint total of 12 million went down by almost 3 million to 9 million. Now, to deal with that retrospectively, the department has got to find 113 million to deal with the gap, and for the department it will be 80 million from April 2015, but from September 2014 to March 2015. That's basically the responsibility of the Department of Education in the program. Until such time that that money is found, that is still going to be a system problem because there is no additional money to deal with that. The next issue has got to do, as I indicated, has got to do with appointments. The Personnel Administrative Measures 1999 and amended some of the latest amendment, I think, which I have seen is the 2016 amendment. It provides for at least an M plus 13 appointment to be a lecturer or to be regarded as a qualified lecturer. However, most of the provinces just appointed whoever. When you look at the following slide, in our system, we have those who are declared 2,940 people, while the RFUV 10 and 11,2,1 thousand, RFUV 12, 1,000. RQV 13, 7,000. RQV 14 plus is 3,000, making a total number in the country of lecturers who are at 17,754. Now, we have inherited this situation, but we now must deal with it. The way of dealing with this situation practicing, we have to say who qualifies to practice in the system. And if we go with the RQB13, that must be, again, a collectively bargained arrangement that only RQB13 and up is going to practice in the system, in order to avoid a practice of people who have absolutely no qualification to practice in our centers. And those who have qualifications, but the qualifications are not adequate for them to practice in our center. That is the second point I wanted to make with regard to residual matters. Just also as a when you look at the in the Western Cape, for instance, there are two types of appointments. There is a support the people who are on the claim system. You know, in terms of our system, they are on periodical appointment. These are the people who must submit claims basically every month. And then there's another group. You see, if you submit a claim, the term prescribes the rates per hour. But if you are on appointment 32, which is an abnormal appointment, and it means you are assured of your stipend every month without you claiming. So you see, within the same province, we got this, look at housing. There are people who are on contract, there are people who are permanent, and there are people who are on 26, who are temporary. And in other words, throughout the country, the nature of appointment is a mess. It is something that we need to clean up going forward so that we have one type, one nature of appointment. Now, the actual costing, taking into account NOA, which is the nature of appointment, and please look at the working hours. In the Eastern Cape, per month, a lecturer with 48 hours. In the Free State, 76. In Gauteng, 140. In KZN, 16. In Limpopo, 32, and so on and so forth. And that relates to, as soon as you have a variety of hours like that, that affects how you are paid and what you are paid. And employees affected in this case, when this one was calculated, employees affected were around 16,000. But the issue to take into account is please sort out the nature of appointment, harmonize the nature of appointment, and secondly, deal with the hours in terms of the harmonized nature of appointment. And then deal with the allowances, in other words, the 37% in lieu of benefits, as well as the bonus in some instances, which qualified lecturers who are appointed on a permanent basis or on a part-time basis are entitled to. Now, at the moment we are engaging to deal with the situation, we have, Madam Chair and members of the portfolio committee, this again, we have not taken out for discussing. It's a proposal which we are still discussing internally in the department. That for us to standardize, you might recall that earlier I said we published the staffing norms and standards for staffing CET colleges. Now, for us to implement those staffing norms, first we have to translate all lecturer notches into public service salary levels. And then we place the lecturers at least given the infrastructure limitations on a part-time basis based on Public Service Act. The Public Service Act allows appointment on 3 out of 8, 5 out of 8, 6 out of 8 hours or 8 out of 8 hours. Now, the next point, in order not to prejudice people who are in the system, if we use a model which says, can we calculate what would be the cost implication of 5 out of 8 hours? And then we put lecturers at level 6. We propose satellite center managers at level 7 and center managers at level 8. Now, if you were to use that model as an example, if we were to use that model as an example, you would need 3.9 billion. This is slide number 17. You will need 3.9 billion. And currently in the bottom line when this calculation was made, what was available was 1.8 billion, which means I have to go somewhere as a department and say, in order to standardize the conditions of service using the model I've just proposed, it means I must go get 2.8 billion rands from somewhere. Remember Chewa has said, I said, first there must be a collective bargaining structure. Secondly, the minister must give the department the mandate to go and collectively bargain. But the minister can't give you the mandate if he doesn't have the money to pay for the commitments. And therefore, the 2.08 billion is something that we need, and we need desperately, in order to standardize the conditions of service on the model just outlined. At the next point, Chair, which we're supposed to deal with, was funding for the CET system. I've listed the cost drivers there. The compensation of employees is the first one. The availability of teaching and learning material is second. The conduct and management and administration of examination is the third. The capital and machinery and equipment which should be at the centers is the fourth. And the infrastructure in terms of development, maintenance, and or acquisition is the fifth. There is indirect cost now. Lecturers need to be trained. There are counselors who are squeezed at a cost. And there's management who must travel in and out of the center. Then the operational cost of the centers. For instance, where centers are using electricity, somebody has got to pay for it. Where centers are, like I just said, that there's got to be such things in the center that make the center decent. For instance, the toilet paper. All of those are operational costs of the colleges and the centers. Now, here is the budget of the system. The budget of the system in 2017 is 2.2 billion. Remember, I just said to you, 1.88 of that goes to compensation. And then the difference has a huge impact in terms of quality of operations, both of the branch, the regions as well as the centers. Now, these are as per line items in terms of economic classification. You will see that the 1.8 I referred to, it means that the branch at that time was overspent in terms of compensation of employees. Because the allocation is basically 1.7, at least for 2017. Now, this is the money which goes to individual colleges from, and also please note that we have not changed the policy in terms of the norms and standards for funding community colleges. In the interim norm, we said until such time that we find an agreement and a post-establishment model, we can't change the norm. We're going to continue funding the system in the same manner as provinces funded the system. Now, when you look at the allocation of the Gauteng College, Gauteng, is that 13 million? And look at Northern Cape, it's 400,000. Because that's how the system was funded. We took it as it is, and this is what we must change. But we must have a policy agreed between ourselves and the Minister of Finance that this we have to change. Now, each center is allocated a particular amount for its operation. Here in the Western Cape, for 2017, all the centers of the Eastern Cape had to share 8.9 million. Next year, 9.4, and the year thereafter, 9.9. This money is not transferred to the college. It is transferred to the TVET colleges in the Western Cape, so that they can procure on behalf of the centers, because the college itself does not have the supply chain management function, as I indicated. I said, even the budget of the college is not transferred to the college, we keep it. We buy on behalf of the college. The centers have got to procure through the TVET colleges, and I think the College of Cape Town here, and I think the Falls Bay College and Boland are the colleges which are procuring on behalf of the centers in the West. However, the procurement must be submitted to the college by the principal. In other words, the list of items that must be procured. This must be procured through the principal. You see, until such time that we build the capacity of the college to manage finance, to perform supply chain management functions. In other words, there is a list of things which are put in section 38J of the PFMA, that if the institution complies with those, then we can transfer the money to the institution. And the council requires to issue a certificate that they can now be able to they comply with that section 38J. Chair, these are the issues which we had to deal with. Can I just ask my colleague, Mr. Diallo, to deal with the curriculum matters?
Thank you, Chair. Members, good morning to my colleagues in SIAE also. In terms of the programs and qualifications that are offered within the CET colleges, please note that we are talking of both what exists currently and our plans to change the programs and qualifications. Please, members must note that we have said Minister has approved a policy called the National Policy on Curriculum Development and Implementation. which therefore provides guidance with regards to what needs to be provided in CET colleges. And in that particular policy, ministers determined that going forward, the colleges firstly must provide formal general education qualifications. So those students who want to do a qualification either at NQF level 1 or NQF level 4 must then follow such a pathway. However, those who want to do short skills programs or community-based programs must also be allowed to do so. So this is the model going forward in terms of programs and qualifications. However, in terms of what exists currently, the members must note firstly that within this particular policy, there is no such thing as a bridging program. So when our colleagues from SAEO talk of a bridging program, that is not contained in the policy that has been determined by the minister. So I feel that I should just state that in terms of, in a sense, dealing with issues of programs and qualifications. Now, critically, what has happened is that the policy has determined that we will provide these programs and qualifications in basic literacy, in basic education for adults, up to the level of matric. So a college such as the Western Cape College is providing those kinds of programs. In relation to the actual qualifications, we have two qualifications currently that are being offered. The first one is at NQF level 1 or at grade 9 level, which is the General Education and Training Certificate for adults, adult basic education and training. This is the current qualification that is offered within the centers. The second one is the senior certificate, an equivalent qualification at the level of matric, that then is offered for those who are out of school as well as adults. Now, in terms of the senior certificate, I'll not go through the whole detail, but just to indicate that this particular certificate is a certificate that is done by the Department of Basic Education. So the Department of Basic Education conducts, administers, manages the exams of this particular qualification. And basically, in terms of its location, this particular qualification is located within the Department of Basic Education. However, our centers are doing it insofar as we are responding to the needs of out-of-school youth and adults. And therefore, the process of the development of question papers, curriculum, is a process led by the Department of Basic Education. Now, in terms of this particular senior certificate, we're saying this is the third year of administering the senior certificate because initially, this particular certificate was supposed to be phased out by the Department of Basic Education. However, that wasn't done. However, it has been amended. So if you look at the D, the question papers and the curriculum of this particular qualification is based on the curriculum and policy statements of the Department of Basic Education. Now this particular certificate, going to the next slide, is for those who are 21 years and older, either who have a GETC or a grade 9 certificate or report, so they are able to access this particular qualification. Some of those would be adults who have not completed their matric certificate before. So in actual fact, this is a qualification that is meant to assist those who 10, 15 years ago did one or two subjects but want to complete a matric qualification. This is the qualification we'll go to. The age is quite specific because we're saying it's those beyond 21 years of age, so that we do not allow school kids who are supposed to do the National Senior Certificate to to come into this particular one, because this one does not have the same requirements as the National Senior Certificate. So in exceptional circumstances, then, it's only the HOD who is able to allow those who are below 21 years to access this particular senior certificate qualification. Otherwise, it's expected that school kids will finish their National Senior Certificate qualification. Now, in relation to this, firstly, that the senior certificate, in terms of its requirements, unlike the National Senior Certificate, does not have what we call school-based assessments. In other words, a particular student can come and just write the exams. If the person has passed the exams, then he or she will get the qualification. Whereas if you are doing the National Senior Certificate, you must do school-based assessments. So there's that difference. So that's why we're saying this is meant for adults. And then for you to pass this, you need to pass 3 subjects at 40%, 2 subjects at 30%, for you to get the qualification, and then also that you must pass a home language. So in a sense, this is how the current qualification is organized in terms of the senior certificate. So 6 subjects based on the particular pass mark that you actually achieve will enable you to pass this qualification. So that's just what we are currently providing at the level of matric for adults and the senior certificates. The important thing to note for the portfolio committee is that the 2 qualifications I'm talking about, the general education and training certificate and the senior certificate, at the moment, in terms of the exams, the GETC at the moment is administered by provincial education departments. During the function shift, one of the areas where the department I'm saying during the function shift, colleagues, one of the areas that we did shift from provincial education departments to the DHET is exams. Recognizing that, one, there was an inadequate budget for us to shift the particular function. So at the moment, we have an agreement with the provincial education departments to continue to run the general education and training certificate. Similarly, at the moment, as I said earlier, with regards to the senior certificate, that's a qualification that's located in basic education, and also they run the exams. Now, if we talk about a shift in policy since 2015, and this is, I'm saying, is part of the policy that has been determined by the minister, the department going forward is obliged to begin to provide, firstly, a new qualification that is similar in structure to the current GETC, but have been reworked and reconfigured. So there's a qualification called the General Education and Training Certificate for Adults, which is a new qualification that will kick in once the GETC ABET elapses. We will continue to provide the National Senior Certificate. We will also be positioning colleges to then provide for those who repeat the National Senior Certificate and are above a particular age limit. So for example, from 21 years old. And then we also have developed a qualification, registered the qualification called the National Senior Certificate for Adults. So your general education and training certificate for adults and the National Senior Certificate for Adults are qualifications that lead a learner from NPF 1 to NPF level 4. So that was in going forward, we need to then provide as part of our policy shift in terms of the white paper. We then need to be providing non-formal programs and community and context-driven programs. And these will be programs that communities themselves will say, we want to be trained in citizenship, in democracy, but it will be programs determined by communities themselves. This will then interact with your processes at local government level. It will also link with some of the government community interventions, your EPWP, CPW, your CDW programs. So that's the second program change that we're proposing that has been accepted by the minister. Now, I'm not going to go through a lot of detail, but if you look at the National Senior Certificate for Adults, the NASCA, we abbreviate it as the NASCA, this will be a qualification that provides a general education pathway for adults. So if you want to complete your matric quickly, because one of the changes with regards to this qualification is that you will be able to provide or achieve this qualification with four subjects. And those four subjects then will be a combination of math and communication and then options. So this qualification would be equivalent to the National Senior Certificate. It's 120 credit qualification, which is registered at MTL Level 4. It will be externally assessed similar to the current matric qualifications. One of the differences with the senior certificate talent is that this will be a qualification in terms of its curriculum, would be geared towards ensuring that we meet the needs, curriculum needs of adults and out of school youth. So it wouldn't be just a school-based qualification that is used for adults. It would be geared towards the adults themselves. So for you to achieve the qualification, it would be through four subjects, two compulsory subjects, either you do a language, math, or quantitative literacy, and then you have options. Currently, we have these options of natural science, ICT, human and social sciences, economic and management sciences. However, the intention is that as the rollout of the implementation of the NASCA continues, additional options can then be added. Now, with regards to progress in relation to the two new qualifications, the NASCA and the JEDCA, with regards to the NASCA, this qualification has been registered by the South African Qualifications Authority. We have finalized the curriculum and it has been gazetted as final curriculum. We are finalizing at the moment curriculum for African languages. So except for African languages, the curriculum for the NASCA is ready. We are in the process of workbook development and adaptation of learning and teaching support materials. Similarly, with regards to the General Education and Training Certificate for Adults, this was a qualification that was registered by SAQA. Umalusi as the Quality Council has provided policy for the JEDCA. We've developed curriculum also and finalized curriculum for the JEDCA, except the African languages, who are busy with finalizing the African languages. The key thing to note for the portfolio committee is that at the moment we are not able to determine the implementation date of the two new qualifications because we have been trying to source funding for their implementation. So at the moment, as I'm saying, we are 90% complete in terms of the implementation, but the funding thereof is one of the challenges. Quickly going to lecturer development and areas that the colleagues from SAEO have raised. A system such as the CET college system requires appropriately trained lecturers, and therefore lecturer development is a priority. Earlier, Dr. Makoba indicated around requirements for one to teach in the college that you require a matric plus 3 years. Now, at the moment, almost 6,000 of the 17,000 do not qualify to teach, yet they are in the system. So one of the things that we must do is to also look at how we then upgrade those. So you need to put in place then a management and support system for professional development. You need policy to deal with how you supply, utilize, develop, and evaluate lecturers. Now, as part of, in a sense, a response to what the colleagues have raised around some of the lecturer issues, the big challenge, and this challenge is reflected in our student performance, firstly is that lecturers, not all of the lecturers that we have in the system are trained in dealing with adults, in teaching adults, in being able to then provide skills to others. So the issue about methodologies for teaching adults and out of school youth is quite critical. Now, that means that the current qualifications that our lecturers have, some of those qualifications do not provide training in methodology. The other thing about the current qualifications is that for lecturers is that they do not provide content specialization. So in other words, people may be qualified to teach, but a person cannot teach maths or science because in terms of the particular lecturer qualification, that was not provided for at university level. And therefore, the department in 2013 put in place a new qualification policy for those who need to teach in CET colleges. And that new CET lecturer policy is meant to address these gaps that I'm raising. So the process is that every university that has qualifications in this area would have to review those qualifications. Remember, I'm saying some of the qualifications don't provide for methodology, some of the qualifications don't provide for content specialization. So the new qualification policy is therefore saying to universities, develop programs for lecturers that take into account these two gaps that are currently in place. So when the colleagues are saying the DHT is taking long to approve qualifications from universities, it's because of the process that's in place by a committee to evaluate all of the new lecturer policies that must be in place. So we're evaluating those policies in line with the new qualification policy, taking into account the gaps. So, Chair, that was just in terms of dealing with issues of curriculum qualifications and the situation of lecturers. I will allow Dr. Matobo to then just quickly deal with the issues of certificates as part of what we were meant to be presenting. Thanks.
I remember, I think it was last year, you were saying what's going on with the certificate in the sector, because the inability of the departments to issue certificate basically is a discouraging factor for students to join the sector. Now, I've got two sets of numbers for you. The report from the college principals indicates that there is 1,844 students without any report from Gauteng, without any report from KZN. 1,844 outstanding certificate. However, Chair, this may be trivializing a relatively deep-seated problem. After receiving this data from the principals, and then I went to our examination function section so that it liaises with the provinces. Remember that this qualification exam is still administered and certification is still handled by provinces. And through that report, I gathered that just for 2016, the 7,207 certificates still outstanding. 13207. And that's the report I got from the examination section. And in other words, the challenge is far more bigger than actual the college principals know, because the people who are running the system in provinces have got live data. Now, the process is the provinces have to create data sets that we have completed the qualification and then submit that to Umalusi for Umalusi to issue the qualification. But if Umalusi tests the data and they find that it has got internal inconsistencies, they reject it and send it back to the province for the province to correct. Now, I think this is one area then, Chair, which we must work on in the same manner as we have done with the TVET, with the NCB. We must work on and say, for 2016 we had so many, but let's investigate further and say, how many do we have going forward? Because otherwise, if we concentrate on 2016, we might be leaving quite a number of people. The colleagues from SAIU can also help as lecturers. When you register at St. Francis in 2011 and your initials are, let's say, Mteto ME, and you go to another center in the following year in Khayelitsha, same person, but when you register there, you change the name, even the sequence, you are EM. The system doesn't recognize this as one person. Second, the students who are registered without ID at one center, and then they register with the ID in another center, the system does not recognize you as one person. In other words, the results of the first center do not belong to the new ID. And you might have completed, but you registered using different details, and therefore your results cannot be combined. We have that challenge, and I think one of the advisory services which the colleges must do and the centers must do is do not change your registration details each time you write, because in some instances they don't sit for one learning area, they sit for learning areas over time. In conclusion, Chair, Chair and members of the portfolio committee, I really desperately need your help in this regard. To deal with the Limpopo short fund, the department needs 114 million, which is not in the current baseline. To be able to standardize the conditions of service, the department needs 2.2 billion, which is not in the department's baseline. To deal with maintenance of teaching and learning infrastructure, we need 1.5 billion, which falls to 5.1 billion in 2018. And finally, the 2009 administration said we must develop a qualification which is suitable for adults, and we did that. There it is, it doesn't have money to implement it, and for us to implement it together with the examinations and for the JETCAO, the GETC, that is the amount of money we need. Without that, we actually are not able to move, except for the structural issues that I mentioned earlier, that they must be in place. Some of the issues are purely funding related. And in a recent study, it was shown that out of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the sector is funded at about 2%. In other words, this is the least funded sector in the department. And I need
honorable members to get into a campaign with me so that I can get more funding to improve the sector from what it was to change it into a completely different sector. Because if we continue in this mode, the fact that it is in the Department of Higher Education and Training means nothing, because the status quo remains. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation. Members, you have been joined by Mr. Vava from the union as well, the NC member. You are welcome. Your apology was received, but we can give you an opportunity if you would like to say a few words. But your colleague has presented. Would you like to say? Thank you. Members, it's time for engagement. Can I see an indication for those who would like to engage with the two presentations? Mr. Francisco Ferreira Stephen, Honorable Solomons, and Honorable Mavona. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was quite excited when I learned that we are going to concentrate on the community education and training sector, because I have had many questions in this regard, and I'm unfortunately left to this morning with even more questions, because it just seems to me as if the department has been unable to stabilize and expand on this sector. If I think of community education and training, and if you read the legislation, I get this picture of centers that are open in the evenings and over weekends, and where people can come, and whether I want to change from being a plumber to an electrician, or whether I also want to be able to do, you know, beetle inspections at homes and so on, that I would be able to get those certificates, and that it would open doors for me to you know, start a new career, or even start with a career, etc. And I'm afraid, you know, that quality we will only start seeing when we get quality in the sector, stable staff, motivated staff, center managers that are performance managed, etc. So, Chair, and I didn't hear anything about that. I didn't hear about the department's plans, their dreams. Yes, I heard a little bit about NASCA, and I'll come back to that just now. But quite frankly, Chair, I would have thought that in this country, where so many people have been denied the opportunity 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago to complete school, to have vocational education and training, that this government would be putting a strong emphasis on community education. And the fact that we are dragging our feet, the fact that we need to look for money, etc., I think is a very sorry tale, and unfortunately, I think many people's expectations have been let down. But to come to my question, Chair, my first one is, and sorry, I think it was Mr. Liswa, but I missed your surname, ma'am. But you know, if I understood you correctly, you said yesterday you had some learners that were supposed to write an exam, and that those learners then were had to go away, be turned away, because the examination papers were not there. And this, I take, is a national exam. In the sense that they will now only be able to write in March again.
No, this is a media exam for grade 12.
Okay, thank you. So, Chief, that kind of basic administration to support something like that, whether it's a test or an exam, for people to turn up and then be turned away because the papers are not there and are not ready, I think is absolutely shocking. But I also want to ask, and I understand that from a lecturer's point of view, you have different interests, different demands. From a country point of view, if the lecturers could just tell us, my picture that I have is you are hourly paid, that's why you must keep a log book and then submit your claims often. If you could just, amongst the three or four of you, tell us how many hours on average do you work per week, your claims that you can put in. Then the second one is, you've made a few remarks and said that you are actually adult education specialists, and you object to the fact that, let's call it high school teachers, secondary school teachers, mainstream teachers, are competing with you and are also involved. I think you said they have a second salary then in terms of them. But is there any proof that you as the specialists deliver and give us better results than the mainstream educators that are also employed here? To the department, I want to ask, A, shouldn't this whole responsibility be the responsibility of the Department of Basic Education? Because it doesn't seem to me as if you are strong on the vocational side. The certificates that are being offered are the generic certificates up to senior certificate and so on. And I'm just wondering, you say they still do the exam administration literature. The next question is regarding NASCA. We've been promised the introduction of NASCA for quite a few years. Now you tell us that it's because you need more money that it cannot be rolled out. But I have a fear, Chair, and that is, when a person comes to me with a NASCA certificate, be I a university recruitment office, be I a potential employer, ask NASCA, what is this? Isn't this one or other car race in America or something like that? And we've had the same problem with our college and the NCV. Prospective employers don't know about the NCV. Universities initially didn't want to allow people with the NCV level 4 certificate access into universities because they have not been prepped. They haven't been prepped. What are your plans, department, to convince people that the NASCA will be at the same level than the senior certificate? And Chair, lastly, to the department, you say there's no performance management in the system. But is the center managers not the point where you must start with performance management? I think when the department speaks of performance management, they always want to performance manage the educators. But I'm wondering, if a center manager fails to submit the claims of the lecturers, if a center manager fails to market the existence of that center and grow the numbers of learners, etc., is it not the center manager that should be performance managed? Is there a performance management system? If so, what are the details? I thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Firstly, Chair, I wanted to check when the department was about to present Dr. Matro. Wanted to come with a way forward. And I'm not sure whether that way forward is the conclusion that was referring to when he last closed. And the reason for that question or highlight was, I wanted to hear in relation to the presentation, because he had the liberty of having the presentation that came from the union, and maybe trying to cut between. However, I welcome the presentation of the department in as far as the policies that are underway with regards to the question of common uniformity, regularization, addressing some of the disparities, so that we've got a Now, the problem that I'm sitting with now is, in as far as the finances are concerned, there's, you mentioned that the colleges, most of the colleges don't have capacity to do certain things. And as such that the TVET colleges administers their funds and or the department. But on another note, when you come to the curriculum, it's the Department of Basic Education that is actually having its hands in it, and I don't know whether I understood it correctly. Which begs the question, where does this sector reside? Is it at higher education or is it at basic? There's mention, the reason for maybe the presentation is actually the issues that the union has got, and especially in the Western Cape. There's mention about Limpopo with its differences, and I want to believe that it is a little bit closer to what the union in the Western Cape also raises. And I don't know whether that problem is as generic as we want to believe, because it's like different approaches to the same problem. There is mention about the money that is needed to rectify the situation in Limpopo. There's not mention about any prospective indication here of money needed to rectify the question in the Cape. And is it at the level of the department or is it at the level of just the province and or the centers? Much of the issues that have been raised are also in as far as where the bargaining takes place, and that environment has not been completed. I would want to hear what needs to be done, because the minister apparently is supposed to be a signing off. And how soon can the minister, the new minister, be brought to speed with the development, especially raised by the unions?
Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Mabuza.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also welcome both presentations. Chair, I was under impression that the second presentation would actually respond to the first presentation. But in the process, I got confused, which I think in the end I would like perhaps my confusion to be clarified, especially the issue raised by my colleague here about certificates, who is responsible for certificates and stuff like that. Chair, I also observed the bureaucracy where employees are being sent from pillar to post, from one office to another. I think most of the things are still controlled in Pretoria. Mzwakhe would tell you that Pretoria is where our lives are run. Because if center managers do not actually respond to the employees' plights, Chair, here we are talking about lives of the people employees who expect to be paid even before they are disqualified to say you do not qualify to teach this, but they let them provide the services, and when their turn comes for the payment, they do not qualify. But they accept that the services that are providing. Because I didn't hear the department saying the services that the teachers are providing to the learners is of a lower standard. There is no comment about that. Chair, I think one other issue which is very painful, Chairperson, is the situation where teachers or lecturers have a life temporal contract wherein a teacher dies poor to an extent that particular teacher leaves the family without anything to live for. And I think the department should at least look at that. Further, Chair, I think the education system is still not transformed. It's still not transformed because it looks like there is a disjuncture between the employees and the employer, whether in terms of policy or the implementation of the policy, development of a policy and implementation of the policy. Because I understand to say, I'm not sure if these policies have been canvassed enough to let the employees know about the changes. Because you can't discover changes at a time when you are frustrated, then they tell you that, don't you know that there is a change? How will you know if you are not told? If education failed to transform, to be transformed, then we shall have failed the future of our country. And I think there is that strict, whether you call it monopolizing of information or securing it in such a way that nobody can access it if it were not through the person who is dealing with that. Lastly, Chair, I had only one question to start. I had only one question. But all that which I have presented came after the presentation by the department. My initial question, Chair, was to say, when is the department ready to pay the outstanding amount for employees who have already provided the services to the clients on behalf of the department? Because I did not hear anything with regard to that. Well, the presentation has been made, but I was very much interested in hearing the when part of not sure if this was done before I joined this follow committee. The joint meeting, committee meeting, so that the basic education will have to answer for itself, to say really this is our responsibility and this is the reason why we're unable to do it, so that we do not have a situation where when we meet this one we'll tell you about the other one who's not present and stuff like that. So I think those are my remarks and questions, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mabunda. Over to you, Chair. Thank you.
No, Chair, I stepped out from the other meeting. They were busy with something else and decided just to come back quickly. But I'm leaving back again. So you will continue to chair still. Just a few suggestions that I want to make to take this matter forward. Because I think what is important is we have dealt with the CET and the presentations that we have received on numerous occasions. The concern from our side must be if we look at the progress that has been made or not between the last time when we received a presentation from the department and now. So I think it would be fair to say we do not see sufficient progress being made between now and the last time that the department has presented to us. And my view is, honorable members, that they are not all related to you can only have money and then you can do and then you can have some progress on it. So I think the first one that we have to say, honorable members, is we are all legislators, all bound by the laws that we have passed. So the first law that we have to sort out in this is the obligation of the department to make sure that those that have not been remunerated are not remunerated in line with how they do their work, despite the categories that you give in this report. That we would urge the department that they bring this to some sort of finality in December, that those that do not have any money, are not receiving any money, that they too can have a proper end of year by knowing that at least their payment are being sorted out. I don't want us to get involved with do this, do that, and how the system works. There's an obligation that when in the country you offer your services, there's an obligation that you need to be remunerated, and that the department find a speedier way in how the payment are being done, because I don't think it could be right for us to agree that people must go without money. But secondly, as part of what you have presented here on your payments, together with the other slide where you talk about the bargaining, that honorable members, that we confer with the Committee on Public Service and Administration and solicit from them what progress are being made to sort out the bargaining council matter. Because here you say there's an absence of a collective bargaining structure on one of your slides. Now, surely somebody has to tell us who's going to install a bargaining council or the structure within the bargaining council, not the bargaining council, because it is there. Because they have migrated from the one to the other, of course, together with that goes in which little chamber do they fit now. And that we equally write to the Minister of Public Service and Administration to find out whoever is responsible for this, to put this in place. If that been attended to, then in there, what would be the priority areas that have to be looked at? Because we understand what the departments say about the financing and so on, but we think that the parties need to get into the bargaining council, and so that they can converse with each other in the bargaining council, what are the different and the important decisions that they need to take. We have seen that you do have an agreement with everyone, and you probably have to honor that agreement that is there. And my question, Chair, is why has that agreement that you've made with everyone, not only the people in the room, with everyone, why has that agreement not been honored? And I think it was in 20, I think somebody can clarify, it was either 2015 or 16, or at the time that you migrated from where you were to where you are now, it must have been a conversation. So that's the second one that I want to say, insofar as the bargaining council and the agreement that are there between the parties. I don't think it is possible for us to say that the millions that the department are putting onto the table, that we agree or disagree with that. But on the record, you would know that the committee has made a proposal in its BRRR processes even to raise the issue of the CET. And we will continue to raise the lack of finances in this sector, which we have agreed to long time ago, is not there, that there aren't sufficient money that are being allocated to the CET. The other issue that I want to talk about, Chair, is that I think I've spoken enough about the bargaining council. But I want to lastly suggest, Chair, that notwithstanding the financial problems that the department is raising, what we would want to suggest is there are some things that we think need to be attended to immediately. One of the things that we should not allow is for those that have come to receive their training or those that have joined the colleges to be taught that they are prejudiced in one way or another. We can't have that situation. So if anyone has decided to join whichever college, then all steps need to be taken to make sure that those learners be educated. So whether it is a problem that they don't have toilet paper, whether it's a problem that they make copies and they can't be paid for it, all of those kind of things we think is not reliant on you getting a budget, but must be attended to. So people that are in the program must be attended to. I think we should have a conversation with basic education and confer with the committee also on the issues that you have raised. Otherwise, the blaming each other is not going to help. We have joint meetings with them from time to time, and we think we should put that one, this matter also with them. And Chair, lastly, I want to say that we have dealt with the entire PSET aspect before us as a committee. And maybe what we should do on the CET matter is we should ask the department to return to us at the end of January to give us an update on all of this. To tell the committee what improvements are being made, and that we elevate the issue of the certificates into the other certificate conversations that we have. Because I think it's disheartening to hear that we are not making sufficient progress. And that we consider as a committee how regularly we can get an update from the department on what they do. And lastly, that we reach out to all the other stakeholders that are in the sector and to hear what joint solution we can find with this one. Because I think that will take us forward as opposed to just seeing that we will be able to solve everything here today. So, Chair, with your permission, I would want to suggest that maybe we should take that approach and see how we can move forward. We will continue to say that the plight of the CET must be attended to, but our view is there are some things that does not require financing as we speak here today that we think needs to be put in place so that we give hope to this program that we have all agreed should be there and which the legislation in any event said that we have an obligation to do. On that basis, Chair, I want to step out again and go back to, I hope they finish with what they've done there and then I can go back there again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. From my side, I want to agree with the Chairperson that the department is still raising the same challenges. Those that were raised during September 2015, November 2016, and again, it's the same challenges, really. We have not moved an inch. I would like to know whether the Minister is given the mandate to implement the norms and standards for staffing CET colleges, and if not, please explain why. Honorable September has touched on the issue of the bargaining council. In addition to her questions, what time frames is the department putting on the establishment of the bargaining structure for the CET? Because the delay is disadvantaging the CET lecturers. With regards to the issue of Limbombo, the unpaid salaries, whether the salaries of educators would be backdated from 2014 when the department finds the money. That one is important for us to know. It was reported that Limpopo Province Department of Education illegally increased the salaries of CET educators upon the pronouncement of the function shift. I just want to know, how did you deal with that situation as the department? On your slide 13, there is what is referred to as the abnormal appointment. If you can explain to me what kind of an appointment is an abnormal appointment. I want to emphasize on the issue of double parkers. That one is of great concern. I think we've been saying it as the committee that it disadvantages those that are waiting to enter the system, and we are happy that you have an idea that we need to upskill those educators, but please let us consider, find a way of dealing with this issue of the double parkers. Lastly, why do you not still use the word ABET when we have moved to adult education and training, AET, not ABET? We need to move the time. So the terminology there, yeah, I just want to know why you're still insisting of using the word adult, ABET. Lastly, I want to say that the committee should convene quarterly meetings with CETA, CITA, and UMALOSI on CET outstanding certificates. We are happy with the clarification that we have given with regards to the outstanding certificates, but we believe that we need to have those quarterly meetings so that we can make sure that there is acceleration in the delivery of certificates to students, because without them they cannot go anywhere. It is disadvantaging them. Then we are then going to allow you to respond to the questions from members, starting from the union and then the department. You can then decide who's going to take which questions and then continue. Can we have members? Can we have a short break of 5 minutes because I think that they want to decide and they are sitting far apart. Thank you.